Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We continue to draw lessons from Paul's request in 2 Timothy 4:13, where he directed this request to Timothy, namely, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Paul is in prison. Paul needs some things. And he forwards his request to Timothy, asking him to come as quickly as possible, to bring John Mark along with him, but to please pick up his cloak, his books, and his parchments, which he left behind at Troas in the care of a man by the name of Carpus. And I think there are a number of important lessons to learn from this, and we'll look at them in just a moment. Thank you for joining us on this Friday, September 23rd, and thank you for your financial support of this Bible teaching ministry. Cloak, books, parchment. A cloak because Paul had a body and would have until he was called into the presence of the Lord and would still have a body, though buried in the grave, when the Lord returns to resurrect our bodies from the grave. He'll have a glorified body, as will all of God's children. But here upon the earth, Paul, like all of us, had a body, and bodies have physical needs. And Paul was cold, and Paul was in a damp dungeon, and Paul was probably not provided with adequate bedding. And so Paul needed his heavy, warm, thick cloak for comfort. In fact, we might even say for survival, because otherwise he very likely would get sick and could die prematurely. I mean, before his execution date, if he didn't have a cloak to address his physical needs. Paul wants his books. His books were probably books, not in the form of books as we have them today. They were in the form of scrolls, but they were books, not scriptures, but books, secular books of one kind or another. Perhaps even sacred books in the sense that they were commentaries on scripture or other things related to the Word of God. They very well could have been. We really don't know the nature of these books, but Paul was a scholar. Paul studied all kinds of materials. Paul gives evidence in his preaching of knowing the writings of the Greek philosophers and poets. So we don't know what these books were. They don't necessarily have to have been Bible-related books. They are books to feed Paul's mind. And then the parchments, which no doubt were the scriptures. Paul needs them. He needs the Bible. He needs the Word of God. He wants to feed his soul. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Paul wants his Bible, which was in the form of a number of parchments on scrolls. But what do we learn by Paul's requests? Well, first of all, we should learn that it is perfectly legitimate to give attention to our physical needs and reasonable bodily comforts. Paul did not take the attitude that some have taken in various times of church history. We don't see this attitude very often in America today. But the attitude that the body is of no importance, the best thing to do is to deprive the body, starve the body, let the body be cold, let the body be hungry, let the body be inadequately sheltered, That's good. That's helpful. That causes man to concentrate upon those things which are spiritual. Don't pamper the body. Don't even cater to the normal needs of the body. Let the unconverted do that, but the spiritually minded will do no such thing. Not Paul. Bring the cloak, he says, that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come. Bring the cloak. This is not a luxury. Maybe, maybe not. It is a necessity. I would tend to view it as a reasonable necessity. Maybe not a dire necessity, but a reasonable necessity. Necessities, needs, are very subjective, as you know. And what one person considers to be a need, another person considers to be a luxury. Far too often we deceive ourselves into thinking things that are truly optional are needs. I need a new car. Why do you need a new car? Well, because, and away go the justifications and rationalizations, which usually are just really not that impressive. Is it wrong for a Christian to have a new car? No, I wouldn't say that it's wrong at all. Is it wise for a Christian to have a new car? Well, that's another issue altogether. I have had a new car a time or two in my life, but I have found it wiser to buy late model used cars. I usually buy a car that's anywhere from 2 to 4 years old. I find that it suits me, that it serves me just as well. I've really never found a used car to be less dependable, less serviceable, less satisfactory to my needs, except it just wasn't quite as delightful as that brand new car off the showroom with the new car smell and so forth. But I've gone to meddling, I'm sure. But is it illegitimate for a Christian to have a new car? No, not if God has provided the means and you have the means to purchase it. By all means, go ahead. If that's the way you think the Lord would best be honored, and it's legitimate for you to use the resources that God has entrusted into your care in that way, go ahead. It's not wrong. It really isn't wrong. But is it a need? I doubt it. We can convince ourselves that it is. Well, that last used car I bought didn't turn out so well, so I need a new one that's going to be more dependable. Well, maybe you just need to be more careful in the way you select and check out a used car. Really, there are ways to do it today. Is it really a need? The term need can be very subjective, but there are legitimate bodily needs. We do need a certain amount of food. We do need a certain amount of water. We do need a certain level of clothing and shelter. We really need those things. If we don't have them, the body suffers harm. Some of God's people have harmed their bodies, have brought about poor health unnecessarily because they, for one reason or another, deprived their body of the things that were needful for a reasonable existence, the things that were needful for good health. I don't see any reason in Scripture to deprive the body of those things that are needed for good health. When it comes to luxury items, that's another matter. When it comes to high levels of comfort, that's another matter. But when it comes to the things that our body needs to be healthy, to be strong, to function well in this life, in this world, I think it is not only legitimate, I think it is wise to acquire those things, if at all possible. If God provides them, have them. And if God doesn't provide them, I think that constitutes a legitimate need. We need certain things. Paul needed a cloak. And the lesson is that it is perfectly satisfactory for God's people to give attention to legitimate physical needs and to reasonable bodily comforts. We had a pretty warm summer this last summer, didn't we? And I commented more than once, and you probably did too, and heard other people comment on how important it is to have air conditioning. And yet we realize that for hundreds of years, our ancestors had no air conditioning. They didn't consider that a necessity. They didn't even consider that a luxury. It wasn't even possible. And they survived, and yet, probably not as well. Probably, we know that people suffer heat strokes and other physical debilitations for existing in situations where they are too hot. Now, there were ways to address that in the era before air conditioning that we don't have today because we do have air conditioning. So we don't have the same commodities and the same elements available to us today to address extreme heat that our ancestors often had, such as building houses with high ceilings. A 10-foot ceiling goes a long ways toward making a room comfortable down at ground level. An 8-foot ceiling does not provide the same level of comfort in hot weather as a 10 or 12-foot ceiling. You go to houses in hot climates around the world where they don't have air conditioning, and you'll find that's normal. You have high ceilings because heat rises, so it rises to the top, and that makes it cooler at the bottom. That's one way to cope, and there are a number of other ways, which I'm not going to go into, that can be tremendously helpful. But the question is air conditioning a luxury or a necessity? Well, it very well may be a necessity, or pretty close to it, particularly for people who are not in good health, who have breathing problems, and who live in homes that were not constructed to deal with heat in an era where air conditioning is the norm. So, my whole point, I've probably elaborated on this longer than I need to, but my whole point is that God is not displeased when his children give attention to legitimate physical needs and to reasonable bodily comforts. The Bible tells us that God has given us all things richly to enjoy. So if God has given us air conditioning, utilize it, for goodness sakes, for God's sake. If God has given us dependable transportation, utilize it and enjoy it. Utilize it for the glory of God. Nothing wrong with that. If God has given us available clothing that is good clothing, by all means, accept that as a blessing, a benefit, a gift from God. We don't have to wear ragged clothing. We don't have to wear the cheapest clothing in order to please the Lord. Think about the Proverbs 31 woman, how she was clothed in luxurious garments, and she was commended for it because it was done because of her industry, her hard work. Now, she gave to the poor. She didn't neglect the poor, but she didn't do it in such a way that she impoverished herself and her family. There are a lot of legitimate lessons here, important lessons from Paul's instructions. And Lord willing, we'll take up some more of them on Monday. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.